Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. I'm Dusty Likens alongside Bob Fesco and our executive producer, Mac Morey.
You can watch us on the internet today, right?
Apparently.
Where do we send people for this? Do we send them to Twitter? X?
Twitch? X. Both of those are the same thing.
Yes.
Facebook, YouTube,
all of it. So we're up on all your social media platforms,
exactly right? No excuse.
Best damn looking guys at this radio station.
There's no question about that, okay. But the competition isn't that strong, Dusty.
Low bar.
I mean, very low bar.
It's like being the best kickball player in third grade.
That's exactly right, yeah.
I can get it on the roof. I remember whenever you were good in kickball, you kicked it on the roof. It was now an automatic out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the Bobby Witt treatment.
Yeah. Well, you had to do something to prevent it from going on the roof.
Yeah, we had Janitor John to go up there and get his overalls.
We had Chet, and you made good with the janitors. Yeah. That was the way to do it. And, you know, we would play at the school because it was across the street from our house on the weekends all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd lose balls on the roof, you know, 9 times out of 10. We finally figured out a way to climb up there ourselves. Obviously, as kids, you kind of tend to figure those things out. But you made good with the janitors. Chet Pucco was our janitor, man. And you saw Chet, and you're like, hey, man, we need our ball. He'd go up there, get you the ball, come back down, and you know, he took care of business for you.
Janitor John Nellen Elementary School, shout out to that school. I don't know what Janitor John's doing these days, but hopefully not janitoring and retiring.
Yeah, hopefully he's retired.
Yeah,
I think Chet's dead.
Okay. You can go to 96.5 The Fan at The Fan 965 on X, and our poll question is up for a Wednesday. It is a three-legger. Fesco and Dusty's poll question this week is, which time slot do you like watching the Chiefs play in most?
Mm-hmm.
Is it noon? Is it 3:25 or is it 7:25? So far, 246 votes are in. 37% say noon, 49% say 3:25, and 13% say 7:25. I've never felt more wholesome with the results of poll results.
I think when you look at the poll results, I think you can approach it two different ways. Am I going to the game or am I staying at home and watching the game, right? Because I think if I'm going to the game, I prefer the noon game. If I'm staying at home, I prefer the 3:25 game, and the 7 o'clock games can kick rocks. And it sure looks like that from the poll question as well. Like 13% of people are like, and if you are in that category, sell me this pen. Why do you like the 7:25 start versus the 3:25 start and versus the noon start? I'd love to know somebody's kind of rationale and reasoning. Maybe you work nights, or maybe you don't work nights, or maybe you work in the day on Sunday and you like to have your Sunday night to watch football. I'd like to know why you enjoy the 7:25 game if you voted that way over the noon or 3:25 game.
Yeah.
When I was in college, that would have been my vote. But since then, no, it's going to be 3 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Some comments coming in that we can read in later, but, want to get into this because open it up to the text line as well. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We know the Chiefs are bringing in running back help with Kareem Hunt, but with the wave of Hendershot to the practice squad.
A tough loss. I can't believe.
They may be looking at other positions. Which do you think is more needed, a corner addition or a left tackle addition?
Well, I don't think either right now. I mean, I think in this day and age, like, we love to make these snap judgments right away. We don't like to let people grow and get better in their positions. We see week one, we go, oh my God, this is my judgment of this player, and I'm not going to change my judgment as the season goes along, right? And week two, Obviously a rough game for Kingsley Suamataia in that game. Nobody's denying that. He was pulled out of a game. It was a second NFL game going against one of the best defensive ends in the NFL, right?
Right.
So I'm not ready to pull the plug on him. I'm not ready to pull the plug on anybody, you know, from the defensive back position yet. We're eight quarters into the season. So you've got to give guys that are young, that haven't had that playing time, the opportunity to play into those roles. Mm-hmm. And I trust Andy Reid. I trust Steve Spagnuolo. If they're comfortable putting these players out there, then I'm comfortable with them. And it's okay to watch players get better over the course of a season. I think we've seen that in all sports, but for whatever reason, the sports fan is like, oh no, we got to make my decision in week one and whatever happens in week one. Like, I saw some stuff yesterday about 2 weeks into the season, you know, asking like these definitive questions. Is this team a fraud? And all, like, we're 2 weeks into the season. We don't know who's a fraud. We don't really know who's good other than the Chiefs and Buffalo and maybe Houston at this point in time. We don't know if Kingsley Suamataia is ever going to be a good player. He's played, you know, seven quarters in the NFL. I want to see these guys get better because they were all drafted. Draft picks tend to work here in Kansas City, and I'm not ready to throw these guys out the window because they had a bad game. Everybody has. Patrick Mahomes had a bad game. Are we getting rid of Patrick Mahomes? No.
No. Patrick Mahomes did throw two interceptions yesterday, and then we saw the insanely clickbait stat that was yesterday of Patrick Mahomes had 17 interceptions overturned in his six-year career. Tom Brady only had 17 interceptions overturned in his 29-year career in the NFL, 23, sorry. And Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has only had three interceptions overturned. Where this is misleading is that in those 17 interceptions, I think 6 to 7 of them have been called penalties because he got the defense to go off sides.
And he knew it was a free play, and you test it.
And there's only been four quarterbacks that have been really good at this move, and that's Mahomes, Rodgers, John Elway, and Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that either Dan Marino or John Elway created the rule where you couldn't bob your helmet.
Because they were doing that back in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting about that because – you got to look at the semantics of this because you're going to start seeing this where the NFL is going to start trying to, or people on X, I should say, are going to start trying to say that Patrick Mahomes is babied or is favored or is all this. But like, if you want to use the interception thing and penalties come back, then you have to use the same thing where Tom Brady created three rules because they protected Tom Brady, right? The tackle to low the quarterback, which should have been a rule way ahead of time, wasn't until Tom Brady got hit by Bernard Pollard in that opening game against Kansas City, and Matt Castle then was gaslit for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
You look at the tuck rule, right? Like
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Right.
Or I remember when Tom Brady was in his prime and my dad would use a line along with other people would say, you can't even sneeze or breathe on Tom Brady without getting a penalty.
Without getting a penalty.
Right? Chris Jones tapped his helmet in that game. Penalty.
That's actually a good rule. Who are the stars of the game, right? You want to see the great quarterbacks play.
Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Kyler
Murray. Guys. Kyler, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, right?
2 weeks, man. Sample size.
Right. And that's the other thing. A 2 week sample size, you got Sam Darnold as the number one quarterback in the NFL. Everybody knows that's not the case, but I think, you know, at times people get mad at those Tom Brady rules, but they're benefiting the league. The league is better because of those rules. You lose quarterbacks, your season is shot. No matter what franchise you are, you lose your quarterback, the season's over. So you got to protect your quarterback to keep your seasons alive. I have no issue with that at all. The Patrick Mahomes stat. Now the genesis of this, remind you all, if you didn't know, started with a talk show host in Buffalo who's probably a little bit bitter that Buffalo still can't find a way to beat Kansas City. But I think what this stat proves, a number of different things with this stat shows. Number one, it proves that stats suck, and if you don't really dive into them and understand what you're reading, it's a bunch of hogwash. So take this one and kick it to the curb because it is as clickbaity as you can get from a stat standpoint. The other thing that it shows is that Patrick Mahomes is just a smarter quarterback than everybody else, right? Because what did you say? Seven or eight of these penalties, he saw the opposition jump off sides. So he took a shot downfield because you got nothing to lose, or you can see a penalty developing. You throw it to that direction. The penalty happens, the interception happens, but it doesn't matter because Patrick saw that. Like, that's the thing that people who are outside of Kansas City maybe can't put their arms around, is that Patrick Mahomes is just smarter than your quarterback. He's not only better than your quarterback, he doesn't only have a better arm and better decision-making than your quarterback, he's a smarter human being than your quarterback. So when these penalties happen, he sees them, he takes a chance because if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it. He's got the play over again. And again, that's why like people run to stats and talk nerd stuff and all this crap. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at all these stats. All right, let's dive deep into this stat, tell you what it really means. And that stat right there is clickbait from a guy in Buffalo who's pissed that his team can't beat Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen isn't as smart as Patrick.
Quick little shout out here to my buddy's son, Owen. It's his birthday today on a September 18th, so happy birthday,
Owen.
How
old? How old is Owen?
I believe he's 8 years old.
All right,
He loves the show, listening now. We do his
way
birthday.
Way to go, Owen.
Happy birthday.
Do his birthday on Sunday. He said all he wants to do is play baseball, kickball, and sports. I said, cool. That's a good kid.
That's an 8-year old right there. Yeah. 8 years was my favorite age. I never wanted to get past it. Mentally, I'm not.
So shout out Owen on your birthday today. We'll see you on Sunday and can't wait. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We go right back to the poll question that is on our Twitter page at The Fan 965. 337 votes in. Which time slot do you like watching your Kansas City Chiefs play in the most? Noon, 325, 725. 38% said noon. 47.5% said 325.
Hey, that's Anthony Richardson's completion percentage.
Come on, put some respect on it. It's 49%.
Oh, I'm sorry. And under 50%.
It's really bad.
And then 725 is coming in last at 14.2.
It's so gaining, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's gaining a little bit. I'm surprised it's that high, quite honestly.
Benjamin Dahlman on the Twitter sphere, the X sphere, says, I currently live on the East Coast. All games times suck.
Yeah, they
best
do.
Best time zone for sports is Mountain Time, 11 a.m., 2:25, 6:25, and it's not close, although Hawaii has good time for prime time as well. Absolutely hate 8:25 out here, though.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I grew up on the East Coast, and when I was a kid, Monday Night Football didn't start till 9 o'clock at night. I mean, like, you just couldn't watch it, like, as a kid. And so, the East Coast times do suck. Ours aren't much better here in the Central Time Zone, but you talk to anybody that lives, like, in California, Oregon, you know, Washington, the West Coast out there, they love the 10 a.m. starts, man. They think those are great. And I've never lived on the West Coast or the Mountain Time Zone, but people who have think it's like the greatest thing. Didn't you live out there in the Mountain Time Zone?
No,
like
it's the best, man.
Best time
it's
zone,
incredible,
right? Yeah.
Dude.
People love watching games in Vegas at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And like there's not one person out there that says the games are too early. They're like, this is great.
Yeah. Night game at 5.
Right. Yeah.
You
night
can
game
actually,
at 5.
Like, do something after the game. It's only 8.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the best time zones. East Coast, worst time zone for football.
Yeah. When I was on a bachelor party in Denver, it was awesome because the Chiefs played and it was a night game that night. I think it was a 3:25 game that day. And or a 3:05 game. It was the game Mahomes got hurt, and it started, you know, Mountain Time. So it was like your day. I don't know. It's just it is great.
It is. It's yeah.
Speaking of something that's great, Max Pack. That's something that's great here on Fesco and Dusty.
It's time for Max Pack.
Oh yeah. Week 3, brioche, baby.
Here, you're ready to go.
Let's go.
We just found out what brioche bun means on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, that's not good. But I think from a bun standpoint, we're still all behind the brioche
Absolutely.
Bun, right?
Absolutely. Let's go week 3 rankings. So real quick, I'll walk you through the week 2 rankings. This is not normal power rankings. These are your power rankings that your ability to actually win the Super Bowl, to hoist the Lombardi Trophy come February. Okay.
All right.
Week 2 rankings were Chiefs at 1, Niners at 2, Ravens at 3, Lions at 4, Rams at 5. And in week 3, starting at 5, a little bit of a hot take, but you know, it's week 3. It's all a little bit up in the air, right? We don't know everything about everyone quite yet. Week 5.
Oh, but we'll tell you we do. Just ask any national expert who's declaring the season over for people.
Well, that's kind of what I do, too. Here we go.
It might be over for the Rams.
It might be.
Yeah, there's a couple overs.
There's a couple 0-2s. Right. Yeah, we could go through that at some point, but number 5 in this week's 3 Mac Pack is the Packers. They won last week. I know Jordan Love's out, but the injury timeline's looking shorter and shorter. Their next 3 games, Titans, Vikings, and of course the aforementioned Rams. At least 2 of those are winnable, so they could be 4-1 by the time Jordan Love comes back.
You don't mess with Malik Willis, bro. You just
exactly
don't.
Exactly right, and Matt LaFleur is creeping up into my elite tier coach list. Number 4. The Buffalo Bills. I mean, at some point, I've got to put the second best quarterback on this list. He's won them 2 games in a row, won them two games in a row.
Josh Allen's been really good this year.
It's been fantastic.
Like,
3 touchdowns from Cook also helped as well.
Absolutely.
I think Allen threw like 157 yards this week.
Well, and that was part of the problem last year. I didn't feel like they used James Cook enough. And James Cook is really, really, really good, and he's proven. He's got some legs like his brother.
Does MBS have a catch yet this year?
That's a great question.
Who did you say? I'm sorry.
MVS.
Oh, no, he got cut, didn't he?
No, he's on the
he's
team.
On the team.
He went, yeah, he went for a pass last week, and it was incomplete.
Oh, I thought they were talking about cutting him at one point.
Nah, man, he's playing.
Oh, good for him. There you go. Good for him.
One catch for 19 yards.
Cool.
Sounds about right.
That was in week one.
So he's on pace for 16 catches for, I don't know math, but 175 yards.
Yeah,
something like that.
It'd be like 8 or 9 catches. But yeah, we'll go to number 3. Yeah, again, the Bill and the defense actually looks better for Buffalo, too. So I got to give the elite quarterback some nod there.
I'll do the addition by subtraction line here because Stephon Diggs needed to leave Buffalo. But he's helping out Houston. Stephon Diggs is one of those players who has a shelf life with a team, and it's about 3 years. And once that shelf life expires, it's time to go to that next team. And his time will expire in Houston sooner rather than later, and then they'll be looking to get rid of him. But having him in Houston has helped them out, and having him not in Buffalo has clearly helped them out as well.
Yeah, they'll find some explosives, but Shakir and Keon Coleman can move the chains for now, and now, of course, Josh Allen's a beast. Number 3, the Houston Texans. One this week, looked good. C.J. Stroud looks fantastic. The offensive line's there. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. I think, like I said this week on Overreaction Monday, Nico Collins, you could tell me he's the best receiver in the league, and I really wouldn't argue too hard with you. And I think the defense
really
is there. He's really good. And, of course, our guy Bob, DeMeco Ryans, heading up that defense, man. He can do it. Number 2, the 49ers. Listen, I know they lost to the Vikings last week, but wasn't it last season they lost 4 weeks in a row, 5 out of 6 weeks, or I think it was something like that last season? They went on to go to the Super Bowl and almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs in an overtime game.
Be careful there. I heard that Christian McCaffrey may not play for a while. Is that true? Have you heard that?
Well, 4 games for sure.
And then I also heard that Deebo Samuel may not be playing now.
That's true.
So
he's out a few weeks.
Yeah. So I'm being facetious about that. So you lost maybe your 2 best offensive weapons, and God forbid you lose your best blocker in George Kittle. Mm. Then what's going to happen?
And then number 1, of course, is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, there you go.
And I don't think that's hard.
No, number 1 yet.
Because they just played one of the best teams in the AFC going into the season, and their quarterback had his worst game in probably a year and a half.
And they won.
And they won.
And they found a way to win. And, you know, to jump off of something what Binkley said, they had a 1-point win over Cincinnati, just like Georgia had a 1-point win over Kentucky. You don't have to apologize for winning football games. You just win, baby. And that's what makes you a great team, the Virginia Slims of teams, the Kansas City Chiefs. I've got my bottom feeders this week. I don't know who my bottom feeders were last week because I'm just going based on what I'm watching this week because it's irrelevant and it's just fun and you can argue all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Number 32, I had a tie for 32, but I had to break the tie. The Carolina Panthers come in at number 32. They just benched their quarterback. That thing is in disarray right now in Carolina. So this week, they are the worst team in the NFL. Followed closely by the New York Football Giants, baby. Let's go. First team in the history of the NFL to score 3 touchdowns, not allow a touchdown, and lose!
That's insane.
It's insane!
That's so bad.
The NFL is celebrating its 104th birthday this week. In 104 years, nobody has ever done that. The Giants, welcome to the party, baby.
Shouldn't that get you benched?
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean, if you can't win a game and score 3 touchdowns, I think they went for 2.
They went for 2 3 times. There you go. You kick extra points.
Bob's ego.
yeah, exactly.
Kick 3 extra points, you win the game.
Yep.
Yeah,
Malik Nabers sounds like he's been in the league for 10 years. You know, in the press conference, he's like, yeah, I'm just doing my job. I'm like, this guy's 21. He sounds like he's been here for 10 years.
So Daboll apparently went to Malik Nabers and says, what do we need to do in offense? He goes, give me the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
66% of the offensive plays were his.
You should be fired if you are a head coach who's won Coach of the Year and you're going to a rookie wide receiver who's played 2 games to say, what do we do here?
I don't know. Try the quarterback. Get rid of that sorry sack.
That'd be like you going to somebody who got hired yesterday and be like, how should we do this show?
Now, I will say this. There's something to be said to have that open mind. Like, they've always been that. Like, that's why Andy Reid's successful, because he evolves and changes, and he was doing the pistol stuff in the NFL before anybody else because all the college kids were. So he's like, well, hell, they're already doing this in college.
Yeah.
Why make them adapt and change to something that they haven't done for 4 years? Well, we'll just adapt to them. So I don't have a horrible issue with it, but, like, is that where you are at this point in time? Like, you're just looking at Malik Nabers going, what'd you guys do at LSU, man?
Well, we had Jaden Daniels. We had a couple other good players.
We didn't
have
this loser at quarterback whose eyes are too close together.
Yeah, this guy named Romeo Dunze as well.
Yeah,
we did some things.
Offensive line.
Yeah. So I got the Carolina and the Giants.
Family.
Then I've got Denver coming in at number 32. That guy's a fraud, by the way. Who? Brian Kelly.
Oh, I thought you were say Bo Nix. I thought he was great.
No, Bo Nix is fantastic after his post-game press conference.
I dropped back and I threw it to the wrong team.
Yeah, so game I've over. Got Denver coming in at number 30, but could potentially move up the list a little bit because of Bo Nix.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
Yeah. Drop back, threw it to the other team.
There you go. Bo Nix. Coming in at number 29, I have the Dolphins this week. They don't have a quarterback, folks. No matter where you look at it, they don't have a quarterback. And then coming in at number 28, I have the Commodes. You didn't score a touchdown versus the Giants. As bad as it was that the Giants didn't win that game, you still didn't score a touchdown against the Giants. So the Commodes come in for me at number 28 this week. Panthers, Giants, Broncos, Dolphins, Commodes are my bottom five teams and Bob's bottom feeders.
Giants play the Browns this week.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a great matchup. Oh, people will be excited. No, the Giants play the Cowboys, I thought, this week. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Somebody goes from the 913. Isn't that what happened when Dusty got hired? All of a sudden, the name of the show changed? LOL.
I sold him half the rights of the show.
Future investment.
That's right.
Hopefully it pans out. No, I mean, look.
Yeah, the Giants are at Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Daniel Jones is going to die.
Who plays better? Cleveland's quarterback, Mr. That's, Massage,
he took
or
the words out of my mouth.
Jones.
Mr. Masseuse.
Because that guy in Cleveland, quite honestly, not only is he a loser creep, but he sucks.
He had an okay week last week, but yeah, he's pretty bad.
It's funny that you bring up quarterbacks because there are odds that you sent us that are favorites for the next quarterbacks benched. I can tell you this, Mac, and I know he is fourth on the list. I was watching Colin Cowherd, The Herd, yesterday when I got home, waiting for the Nick Wright show. And that's just what I call that now because that's clearly what it is.
That's exactly. And
he was saying that Will Levis, this was Colin Cowherd's take, obviously, he said he's out in Tennessee.
I mean, the coach shredded him.
And that's why he said it. Yeah. He was like, when you look at teams in the past where the coach, he brought up Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. When Sean Payton came out and was like, yeah, Russell Wilson can't be doing this, and he's not shy about his words, he goes, the next thing that happened is Russell Wilson was gone.
Yeah, who's the backup in Tennessee?
In Tennessee, it is, good question.
Because Levi's was the backup, and then they traded Malik Willis, obviously, to Green Bay, and Tannehill's not around anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's a name. It's a name. It's a name.
It's a name. Well, usually it would be. Yeah, everybody's got one.
Well, it could be, you know, like Prince. He could just be the artist formerly known as, or he's a symbol.
Yeah, true. That's a fair one.
It's Mason Rudolph. That's it. Mason Rudolph.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Miles Garrett's most hated person in the world.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph.
Okay.
That's how you know Mason said something wrong or racist, because Miles Garrett has never been that way. Ever.
You've never seen Miles Garrett act that way before,
and he
right?
He ripped his helmet off and hit him with it.
Yeah. So I mean, that was like, wild.
And Mason was like, I didn't say anything. It's like, well.
Maybe you did. I mean, the guy did beat you with a helmet.
Yeah.
So he's the backup in Tennessee. Yeah, you're not winning with him. Yeah. Tennessee's going to be in the market for a quarterback. But I do love the fact it's Tommy Callahan, right? He's the coach down there selling auto parts for the working people because that's what I am. But I do appreciate that gentleman in Tennessee, whatever his name is, saying that about his quarterback. Throw the guy under the bus. Like, I mean, we've done this now for how long, right? How long have we done this? And you're still out there doing the same type of stuff that you're not supposed to do.
Right.
Will on the fumble. I know you look very upset on the sideline.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown up and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Yeah, like
zero.
He went with he's an adult route. He should know better. You know, I'm very disappointed. Like, that is a soundbite that is about 18 seconds long, and he nailed all the buzzwords.
Will on the fumble. I know you look very upset on the sideline.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown up and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Irritated, dumb, cost us. Yeah. Like, I mean, he hit everything in that.
And Mac, you might know this more than I do. They were saying that there's a lot of arrogance with Levis, that like he doesn't really listen well, like, to advice.
Oh,
and
really?
That's what I was hearing yesterday when they were talking about the reports of this. And they were just saying basically, like, he's only thrown, I think, 6 touchdowns in, like, 9 games since he's been a starter, and just the numbers don't add up. And then it's like, like the coach.
So he's a self-entitled.
Well, I mean, he's doing mayonnaise perfume or cologne commercials, and it's like you haven't really created any clout. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, like listen to us. This is what you're doing wrong. And yet the same mistakes keep happening. Like the interception that he threw in week one was just atrocious. And then the fumble in week two. And it's like something's either really right or somebody's completely wrong. But it seems like when you put the stats and the storylines together, it looks like it's a Levis problem.
Yeah, having lived in Nashville, the rub on him when Vrabel was still there, it was like, oh, he's a man's man.
Sorry, the rub on him?
The rub on him.
You never heard of that?
Who's a man on man? What? He's a man's man? Will Levis?
Yeah, he's a man's man. He's alpha. Look how strong he is.
The man puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
Go look at him yell at DeAndre Hopkins in his second game. He knows who he is. And that was kind of the I don't know, not the rub on him.
Say whatever you want.
But yeah, that was the whole thing on him with Vrabel. And then that switch with Brian Kellen. And it's like, hey, you actually need to like know the offense. And we're going to pass early on first downs. And this is going to be like a more analytical like game now. And it's just, I feel like he's not listening.
Well, that's the approach of why most players fail at the professional level. No matter what sport you're in, you're so used to just doing it your way and dominating the competition because you're better than everybody else. Then you get to the pros and everybody's better than you or just as good. And you've got to do those little things. You've got to study the film. You got to learn the playbook. You're not just going to go out there and make plays because you're a good athlete. That crap works in high school. It kind of works in college as well. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the pros and you realize there's, 52, 53 other guys on every other team that are paid professionals that are just as good or better than you. And if you don't put in the work and the time and do the right things from the end of the game to the beginning of the next game, you don't stand a chance in that game. This league is too hard. Baseball's too hard to just think you're going to go up there and just be better than everybody else when that's just not the case. And so if Levi's isn't willing to put in the work and he's too worried about mayonnaise in his coffee, then you need to jettison him as well, just like Carolina did with Bryce Young.
More likely, we can also do this maybe later on in the week when we do the in the script, more likely to start at some point this week in week three. Drew Locke, ooh. Jared Stidham, or Drake May.
Those are the top start this week.
Yeah, those at some point get into the game.
Get into the game. Say the names again.
Drew Locke.
Okay.
Jared Stidham.
Ooh.
Drake May. The reason I say that, those are the three highest quarterback starters that have the best odds of getting benched. Right. Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, and Jacoby Brissett.
Gotcha. Right. I didn't know Jacoby Brissett was still in the league.
He's been playing for 2 weeks in New England. Got that win against Cincinnati.
Ugh. He's terrible.
Shouldn't beat Seattle.
I'm going to say, I think it's going to be Drew Locke.
Yes.
Just because, I don't know. Daboll hasn't called out Daniel Jones yet.
He hasn't called out like all these other coaches last year.
I'll say it. We're 2 weeks in, and I know I'm like pumping the brakes on some of the Chiefs players, but you can see some of these quarterbacks just aren't very good. I do appreciate Root Canal down in Carolina calling out his quarterback and Tommy Callahan in Nashville calling out his guy as well because those guys stink. Like I'm waiting for Daboll to call out Daniel Jones, and that has to start happening because. You know, how many careers is Daniel Jones or Will Levis or, Bryce Young going to waste of other guys being horrible at what they do?
Well, you also just asked or said the story of, like, what did Daboll say to Malik Nabers? Give me the ball. You know who throws it?
Yeah,
like
I don't know if we can do that. This guy can't throw.
Drew Locke throws the football to anybody.
Because I don't think they're going to. Bo Nix is at least a rookie,
No, they're not going to.
And I don't think they're going to put Stid in. And then you look at Drake May.
That would be my answer, personally.
Yeah,
personally, because I mean, you've already heard Jaron Mayo literally said in the offseason he is better than Jacoby Brissett.
That's like, a fair point too.
Like he literally said it, but then he started Brissett because he wants to save his guy. And what do you know? It's a good decision. Drake May leads or is tied for the lead in rookies for touchdown passes. After 2 weeks, he hasn't played a game. Okay, everyone's out on all these rookies. Caleb Williams sucks. Bo Nix sucks. Drake May sitting there, he's fine on the bench, hasn't been hurt. I feel like it's a great decision by the Patriots.
It's a great decision if you have, your guy Alex Smith back there teaching you and learning you along the way, too. Mm-hmm. That would really help. I don't know if Jacoby Brissett is that guy. I don't know if Drake May is learning a lot. I just don't know the answer to that question because I don't know much about, Jacoby Brissett. Hopefully he's being like the Alex Smith role and you can comfortably sit him. And I think Jerod Mayo is probably in a spot where you can comfortably sit your rookie quarterback because you're in your first year as a head coach as well. And so you're saying, look, I'm going to let this guy sit, learn how to play in this league, and then we'll start him next year. I think that's probably the right thing to do if you're Jerod Mayo. But like if you're Brian Daboll, I mean, your job's probably on the line at this point.
Why couldn't Jerod Mayo get Will Levis? Wouldn't that be perfect?
Yeah.
Jets will play the Patriots on Thursday night.
I will
not be watching that game.
Oh, you're not going to look in for the Aaron Rodgers? He's coming home to New York.
So there's a chance Drake May could play in that game, depending. I don't know.
Gosh, don't do that to him.
Denver plays the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Tampa. So if it goes south, you know Sean Payton's got a quick trigger. And then obviously we already talked about Cleveland and New York Giants.
How much does Sean Payton believe in Bo Nix? That's the question that we need to know the answer to. And I don't know what the answer to that question is.
So far enough would be my answer.
Well, didn't he say that
is it ride and die with this guy for Sean Payton? Because if it is, you just let him play and get better.
He said he reminds him of Mahomes. Gave him the same feeling,
right?
Right?
We need to go to break, I think. You're telling us it's time to break. Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, fake or real? That's what we'll get into on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Fesco and Dusty with Mac Mare rolling along on a Wednesday. Can't believe we're already 2 hours in.
I know, and we're already on a Wednesday.
Whew. Love it. Tomorrow's
Q coming up at 9, right?
That's right.
Well, that's an hour and 15 minutes from now.
It'll feel like 10 minutes. But we get into what we tease, which was real or fake, where Mac will go through five teams and assess, which also looks like asses, whether they are real playoff contenders or if they are 2 week flashes in the pan.
You see, that's why the English language is the toughest language to learn in all of the world, because that could be asses. Yes, and if you're coming into this country and you don't know English, you see assess and you're like, asses.
Yeah.
Let's go through that. Let's
there, and there.
Let's assess some asses in the NFL.
Yeah. These are real and they're spectacular. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Kelsey, number one.
Yeah. Okay. Raiders. What do you think?
Asses.
Asses. Okay, great. That's it.
I like it. Cancel it. That's how you end the
segment. We're done. Move on. Next topic.
Right back on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City. People ask, how's the chemistry with you and Bob? Listen, it's 7:47.
We're done.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Gardner Minshew. Yeah, they got Davante Adams. They seem to have figured something out against Baltimore, or Baltimore is just pressing. But again, like, I don't trust Vegas. That's one of those, you know, rah-rah wins behind, basically a second year, but really a first year full-time head coach. And Antonio Pierce, and
I really like him.
It was cool to see him celebrate after the game with one of the executives of their team and be like, you know, he really wanted this one. But yeah, I would say that they're fake. I don't think they're real. I don't think you can take the Raiders seriously, obviously, because of who they have at quarterback. I like Gardner Minshew. I think he's fun. He's a Halloween costume that has a lot of pizzazz, but I think that they're fake.
Yeah, I think they're fake as well. I mean, so fake that the fact that they were talking about trading for Matthew Stafford yesterday, like, there were reports that, you know,
that
Matthew,
would make them real.
That would
be amazing.
But you know what? The Dolphins need to be doing that. If any team needs to be trading for Matthew Stafford at this point in time, and he's available, the Dolphins need to swoop in.
But I do think the one thing that gives the Raiders merit in this conversation is that Brock Bowers is exactly as advertised.
He's really good, yeah. And I hate the fact that he's really good.
It's 2 weeks in, and he's 2 weeks away from going bald, but he is an absolute bona fide stud and a certified G8 done.
I was telling you at draft night when we were up at, not Maloney's, but the Landing, and we were watching the draft, there was a Raider fan there, right?
Yeah.
Tammy from the Weston son-in-law, unfortunately, is a Raider fan. Mm-hmm. And right before the Raiders pick, we saw what Atlanta did, right? Mm-hmm. They took Michael Penix Jr. And Michael looks at me and goes, damn, that was supposed to be our guy. Mm-hmm. And then so they took Brock Bowers. He's like, all right, I guess. I don't know. We wanted that quarterback. But, man, Brock Bowers, holy crap. That dude is legit now.
He's there. He's there.
Yeah, him, Michael Myers, Davante Adams. Like, oh, that great little offense actor going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go over, sticking in the AFC West. Chargers.
I'm going to say they're legit. They got two tackles. Like, that alt kid can flat out play.
Yeah.
He can flat out play.
Who they played so far? They play the Carolina Panthers, and who else?
Yeah.
They lost. Yeah. No.
Did they not beat Denver week one? That wasn't a divisional game?
No, they Maybe you're right. Maybe it was. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Thank you.
So they haven't beaten anybody, is what you're saying. Yeah.
They beat a rookie quarterback and they beat a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's also benched.
So I guess I was just reading some stuff. I was reading
Raiders.
I was reading propaganda on the Chargers yesterday, I guess, because, you know, the national media continues to push that narrative because they got the best uniforms. But other than that, I don't know, man. I like all a lot. Like, he stymied Max Crosby in that first game of the season. I wish we had him. Would you trade Kingsley for Alt straight up right now?
Okay. All right.
I'd throw in Peyton Hendershot too, Brett.
Serious question. Would you trade Xavier Worthy for Alt right now?
No, not right now because Marquise Brown's not healthy.
Alt's like a 15-year starter at left tackle, though.
Well, he's playing right now, but yeah, you could put him at left. Yeah,
you could put him anywhere you
want. Well, they have what's his name?
Not Penei Sewell. They've got Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, Slater at left tackle, who's pretty damn good in and of himself. Yeah.
Is that Beer Slugger still available? He's playing left tackle in the Green Bay.
David Bakhtiari is still available.
Like, he's 100.
Is he washed?
He's washed. Yeah, he's like Lawan. He's okay. Washed.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan, I don't want to mention
that's
him,
another name there. Oh,
No. That leg is not true.
I would. Okay. No.
Okay.
Okay, so Charger.
But boy, Dusty, I really would. Like, it's a very good question.
No, honestly, I would think about it. Cardinals, real or fake?
Fake.
Real.
Yes, I knew it. Okay. Fake. Kyler Murray, is that really it? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
He's got a guy to throw to.
Yeah, we'll see if it continues, right? Like, he's shown games where he can be good. He's also shown games where he's brutal. So we'll see if week one was a fluke or if week two was a fluke.
When does Call of Duty come out?
Oh, that's when Kyler 2012? Murray goes downhill. Yeah.
No, the new
one. Oh, the new one? Yeah.
I think it comes out in like 6 weeks, and everyone's like, Kyler Murray is going to be the MVP of the league until this date. And I was like, this date? And I looked at it, I was like, oh,
that's true.
That so,
is true.
No, I think they're real for now. I mean, obviously, we're 2 weeks in, but I mean, Kyler Murray almost beat the Buffalo Bills, and he just put a whooping on the Rams. Now, I know the Rams got injured, and that's depleting. Look at the Royals when they lost Vinny Pasquantino. They went on a 7-game losing skid.
Right.
It can hurt the core. But if he has found that connection with Marvin Harrison Jr., not only does that open up everything for everybody else, but it looks like James Conner's like ageless. Like, a lot of people had reached out to me from fantasy aspects, like, do I take Conner like later in the draft as a running back option? I'm like, I just don't know if the wheels are off yet. Conner seems to be okay. Marvin Harrison Jr. seems to be him, at least after last week. And if he's got a target and he's got somewhat of a running game, he can still be creative. Right now, to me, I think the Cardinals are real because Kyler Murray's been, at least in 2 weeks, better than advertised for most.
Not me.
Like over here.
But they may be real, though, because of the division that they're in right now, because that division has drastically changed in 2 weeks. San Francisco's losing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams have lost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Seattle, people seem to like
Geno's
Seattle.
Playing
and, I mean, he's
right
playing
now.
Out of his mind. Yeah. Like,
and I think they get the Rams this week, right?
I think so.
And they're like a full, I think they're like a 3.5-point favorite. It's like something where it's like, I feel like, this is our whiteboard game of the week where we take the Seahawks.
I think the Cardinals have a chance for that division.
Well, Miami plays the Seahawks.
Oh, that's right. Miami with Skylar Thompson.
Right. So.
And I think Seattle's
San Francisco and LA this weekend.
Ooh, snooze fest.
I mean, who's going to call that game?
Yikes. Yeah, my plus 11,000 bet for the Cardinals to win the division. It's looking better.
Like that.
Which is the
like
Tom
that,
Brady
right?
game. They got a couple of late games on Fox. They've got the Rams, 49ers, Baltimore, Dallas, or Detroit, Arizona.
I bet he's either getting Baltimore and Dallas or he's getting Detroit, Arizona. Because Dallas would be on Fox.
No, that's what those are all Fox games.
Yeah, those are all. Yeah, he's not getting. He can't get Vegas and Carolina, can he? They wouldn't do that to Tom, would they? The team that he's invested in plus the Carolina Panthers, that'd just be confusing.
The maps will come out later today, but
yeah, Cardinals, real.
Minnesota Vikings.
I'm in on the Vikings.
I
just always have a soft spot for the Vikings. We'll always have a soft spot for them. It was like my dad's second favorite team. I know a lot of Viking fans. I love their uniforms. Their coach, Matt Fleener's fantastic. I'm a huge Justin Jefferson fan right now.
Kevin O'Connell.
And so I like what's going on up in Minnesota. I think they're quietly good, man, but they're going to disappoint like they do every year.
If they are real, you'll know after this weekend. Because they host the Houston Texans.
Houston Texans this weekend, yeah.
So we're all rooting for Minnesota this weekend from an outside.
Even though they beat San Francisco, still need a little more. That's fair. Yeah. Early on. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not bought in yet.
That's fair.
I think San Francisco is a little bit in disarray right now, though. I mean, you lose Christian McCaffrey. That's a big part of your offense, right? That's not losing Isaiah Pacheco and you still have Patrick Mahomes. And then you lose you know, Debo for a couple of weeks. And now you're really going to say, is Mr. Irrelevant, can he raise the level of everybody around him? You know?
You still have two all-pro weapons with a really solid wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle.
Kittle's a blocker.
And Juwan Jennings, a fantastic wide receiver. You've got Ricky Pearsall, who's looked good as a
rookie. Did you see Kittle's game this past weekend?
No, did he play well?
He played well. So
he's due for a bad one then.
Okay.
No, I didn't see much of the NFL this weekend. I was at the game. You miss a lot of the league,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I forget about that.
Last, really quickly, Saints. Just need more time. 240 bombs in a row, 91
points.
They
house Dallas, and I mean, I've been told for 30 years Dallas is supposed to be good, so that should matter. I don't know. I feel like Carr is playing with a purpose this year.
Me too.
I think
I'm going to buy into the Saints. Yeah, I think they're real.
I think they're real too.
Yeah,
I think they're real, and
especially in that division.
Yeah, Kittle this week 7 for 76 and a touchdown.
Good for him.
He sucks.
But I think they're real, and I'm rooting for him hardcore this week because he gets Sirianni and the Eagles, and I hope Derek Carr absolutely shreds Sirianni.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah, that'll be really good. That'll show you they're real and spectacular if they beat them.
Because there's a lot of storylines to come from that game because the Saints do what they've done to teams so far this year. Again, one of them's Carolina, but one of them was Dallas, and it seems that Kamara has more life, and Shaheed's got that deep threat option. Mm. Plus, you've got a lot.
Alvin Kamara is playing with a new 5 cents.
Right. I mean, torched Dallas, 4 touchdowns. But if they beat Philadelphia, the 2 storylines you get out of that are the Saints are the number one team in the NFC, and Philadelphia's fired Nick Sirianni.
Oh,
that's what you're getting out of that.
If the Philadelphia Eagles lose to the Saints this weekend, how quick will the first phone call be to WIP saying fire Nick Sirianni? Will it happen at halftime, or will it happen, third quarter? Or what, because we talk about the hot seat rankings every week with the coaches, right, in our terrible Tuesday one. Tough Tuesday, whatever it is. The guy who's on the hottest seat, though, like whether we want to believe it or not from a fan standpoint, is Nick Sirianni. I don't think any fan base other than maybe the Giants, but again, the pressure in New York is not as much as it is in Philadelphia with the expectation.
Right.
I don't know that there is a coach on a hot seat from their fan base more than what Nick Sirianni is with the Eagles right now. Like, that dude's seat is on fire.
Yep, they're going to fire.
They'd have Kelce come coach the team.
Do the Jeff Saturday route. We'll get back into the Royals other side.
Wow. Yeah. Are you in on that? Because I am.
We'll get into the Royals who played last night. It was a heartbreaker. Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, joins us at 9 o'clock. But up next, we talk about what is the reality of what last night meant. I'm Dusty Like. It's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Five, The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.